This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi everyone, this is Paul Simpson, manager at Carlisle United, and you're listening to the Blue Army Podcast.
My name is Jamie Devitt.
My name is Maddie Robson.
My name is Chris Miller.
My name is Paul Anderson.
My name is Mark Boyd.
Hello, my name is Derek Combs.
My name's Toby Show Silva.
My name's Greg Abbott, and you're listening to the Blue Army Podcast. Enjoy.
Hello, the boys. All right, Max. Oh, looking like you've had a nice haircut and a mustache trim there, lads.
I haven't had a haircut. I've just changed it about a bit.
Yeah. He's done his finger, so he's got a moustache again now.
Yeah, that's the moustache is black, to be fair.
Oh, there's definitely some effort that's been put in. You're all right, Liam.
Not bad.
We can all see each other, we can all hear each other, so we started pretty well this week. Has anyone started the Christmas shopping yet?
I've looked at things, haven't bought anything.
Yeah. No, just to let you know as well, my laptop hasn't charged properly, so if I drop out at any point because of that, I'll just join on my other computer if that happens. But
yeah,
I'm fine.
No worries. Max, did you get any shopping done yet?
Yeah, all mine's done, mate. For once, for the first time.
Max is by far the most responsible and proper person among us. So
that is a title I'll forever be grateful for.
Out of all of us, Max is the real human being.
You're the grasp on reality that we all need on the podcast. Otherwise, we just sit around playing True Blue or Not a Blue and just play all day. Got to put us in some kind of direction. I talk about putting us in some kind of direction. I'll kick things off properly, lads. I'll kick things off properly. Oh. The Maras, how's it going? And welcome back to the Blue Army Podcast. This is, of course, episode 138. And if you haven't already guessed, as always, I am absolutely buzzing to be joined by the three men that I love to call the Cumbrian Brain Trust. That's right, I'm joined by Max, Liam, and Wills. Thank you for joining us once again, gentlemen. Thank you.
No worries, mate.
Thanks for having us, man.
Happy to be back.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, it's been a difficult week, full of ups and downs for Carlisle United fans, unfortunately. Liam, you were on the road to Blackpool. Max, did you manage to get a ticket in the end?
No, I didn't, no.
Right.
I'm glad I didn't as well.
Probably for the best, to be honest.
That's okay. We'll hear all about Liam's experience in Blackpool. I'm sure we've probably all seen the viral video of the young lad not being allowed to go back into the pub and sort of swinging and missing against the bouncer.
Oh.
It's all a bit embarrassing, but every fan base has them, like, at the end of the day. And, you know, it's just our turn, isn't it, to be in the spotlight for that kind of behaviour. Unfortunately, we don't condone any of that behaviour because, but it is sometimes quite funny to see it. But I'll tell you what is actually funny, gentlemen. It's the Blue Army Podcast Joke of the Week. I think he's trying to. It's the Blue Army Podcast Joke of the Week. I bet you didn't know where I was going with that, did you?
Oh, no, not a clue.
I didn't, to be fair. But, lads, the joke this week is as follows. What do you call a horse that lives next door?
Neighbour.
Yeah. Hey! He's a neighbour, exactly. Well done, lad. Well done. It's a nice, easy one this week, but nonetheless, incredibly enjoyable as always. And something else that's always enjoyable is the part of the show where we all get to find out what's been happening here. And what's been happening in the League One Roundup with Liam and Wills. Take it away, lads.
Well, I was going to kick us off just to take a moment to say there's been some really troubling news that reminds us all that, you know, this is a game, but it's about more than what just happens on the pitch. And sometimes really kind of like serious things happen that we all have to take a moment to reflect on. Of course, talking about the disgraceful scenes at Northampton as over 7,000 people lost the Whamageddon challenge because the Tannoy announcer played last Christmas and then got some stick for it. It's made the news. It's been all over the place.
Really didn't know where you were going with that.
I was like, well, there's something here.
Hot line and sinker.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, 7,000 casualties.
Is anyone still in? Is anyone here on the podcast? Are you lads still in?
Can somebody explain what it is?
I don't know.
I knew you'd be too fucking young for this.
I don't know. I might have heard it. I might not have done. I don't know.
It's a game of when the first time you hear Wham last Christmas, you're out of the game. It's called Whamageddon, basically. And it's the closest you can get to Christmas without hearing last Christmas.
I think I'm still in then.
Yeah, do you even know what the song goes like?
Of course I know what the song is. I didn't know it was by Wham, but I know the song.
Yeah. Well, that's Whamageddon. You're allowed to have the E17 version.
Not true, think,
yeah. That doesn't knock you out, but no. So obviously off to a real troubling start in the roundup. The other thing, we've got a couple of managerial changes, one new sacking, one new appointment. Liam, have you looked into anything?
Just the fact that there's been another kind of FA Cup, a bit of drama there as well.
Oh, yes.
Forest Green Rovers are going to have to replay their game against Scarborough because they broke a rule similar to what I think Barnsley did when they got kicked out, but they weren't kicked out of the league like Barnsley were. I know it's a different rule, and they're
not clear. Is it a different rule? I mean, I read it, but I couldn't work out where
I think they fielded an ineligible player, they were ineligible for a different reason.
Oh, okay,
as to what Barnsley, which for me is crap, because you know they've pretty much broken the exact same rule, and instead of being booted out of the cup, they now just get to beat Scarborough again. Yeah. Which I think is a little bit,
they might not beat them again.
They've got a replay.
Yeah, they now have to replay the game. Whereas
it was already a replay.
But they get booted out.
Yeah, it was already a replay.
Right.
So they'd already kind of played them twice. So there's, I mean, Scarborough will probably feel that there's every chance of them getting through this time, and then they'll play Blackpool. The Forest Green players were actually on their way to Blackpool when the game was called off because of this. So, bit odd timing, really. It's not entirely fair.
Inconsistency,
on the fans.
Isn't it? The fans are the last people the FA and things think about in these kind of things. It's just, it's another stupid rule that nobody even knew had been broken, which somebody's managed to flag up. And they've just given a completely different punishment as to what a different club got earlier on in the season. It's an absolute farce. Mm. And, you know, the likes of Barnsley who got chalked out of the cup because of this, or Phil Hard done by, but, you know, it is what it is.
Also, Cambridge United, we said that they'd sacked Mark Bonner. I think that was mentioned in our last episode, but they've appointed Neil Harris. Ooh. Who was at Gillingham this season. I think we actually mentioned, even though it's League Two, I think he actually got a mention when Gillingham sacked him because thought Gillingham were doing fairly well under him.
Yeah.
So obviously ambitious, and he wasn't living up to their lofty ambitions. But now at Cambridge, I mean, you'd have to say that's a decent appointment by them. Sorry, I was looking for a response. You'd have to say, does anyone have any views on whether that's a decent appointment by Cambridge? he used to manage Millwall. He's an experienced manager, and like I say, we thought he was doing a good job at Gillingham, but they obviously want even more. And there's been another casualty as well, Burton Albion, who have lost four in a row and sit 4 points above the relegation zone, have parted ways with Dino Mamria after defeat by Dino Mamria's former club, Stevenage. So they now have a caretaker manager in place for the next match. And who is that against?
Burton, is that?
Last team that we beat that.
Feeling a long time ago.
Yeah, so there, anything else that you've got, Liam?
No, that's all I've got.
Sound.
Apart from the fact that Burton's next match is Oxford. That's the game.
Oxford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, plenty of managerial ins and outs at the moment. It is that time of the season, though, where things are going to get a bit choppy. And there are, obviously, a few Carlisle United fans that this week were actually calling for the manager's head. We will go on about the news a little bit later on. We have to report on this kind of thing. We'll tell everybody what side of the sword that we all lie on. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think it's a thing. I don't think people are actually wanting the manager to be sacked.
I've seen firsthand, like, you know, actual people saying it and like putting it publicly on Facebook and stuff, saying like Simo out basically. So
Facebook isn't a place for sensible human beings, you know.
It's not a
sensible human beings.
it stirs things, and we're stirring something up that we don't need to stir up just yet, but we've just found out what's been happening here and what's been happening there in the League One Roundup with Liam and Will. So well done, gentlemen. Well done this week. Obviously, a fair bit of news to actually cover. Unfortunately, I just feel like, you know, we're maybe not as clued up on this division still in League One, the sort of managerial ins and outs and stuff like that. And, you know, that's why we're a bit useless to comment sometimes, unfortunately. It's not a reflection on the job that you're doing. It's a reflection on the lack of knowledge on my side.
I'll put it down to Zoom. It's difficult to end a piece and then like wait for a response because people don't necessarily know whether you're actually waiting for them to respond or not. Yeah.
I've always figured like the way to do it, kind of be direct and put people's names on the end of sentences, because if I don't, then you're kind of like, you're right, you do sort of.
That's
like
why I'm not the host.
But then you always feel bad about putting someone on the spot, don't you? So
I'll take that in mind next time and start asking some direct questions.
And just put us on the spot. Force us into an opinion. But no, I mean, like, I'm sorry we weren't very good at sort of like battering backwards and forwards for the League One roundup. But something else I'm also really sorry about is this, because it's the one time of the show that I just couldn't think of a rhyme. It's Max's Million Pound Idea. Get away, Max.
Thank you very much. So this week I've got a comment from a user on Instagram called DKH.watches. So this was a comment left on the post I did last week. Got quite a few responses from it. So it's quite a long message. It addresses quite a few points. So I'll just read it all out and then we can have a talk about it. So it says, the amount of times I've not been able to spend money at the games is unreal. The queues are mental, slow, unorganised and uninterested staff don't help. Bring the catering back in-house and have more places to buy from. They'd make way more money. Players need adding to the squad sharpish. Avoiding relegation is of the utmost importance this season.
Is avoiding relegation a million-pound idea?
all of this stuff added together,
I take a
it'd probably cost more than a million. Let's see us spend and get the players we need. I guarantee we'll do well. We're lucky to have him as a manager. And listen to his ideas. He's got some great ones on building the club long term. I'd also look at tickets and pricing. Surely higher gates at slightly reduced ticket price would be better for the club. Not all revenue is taken from gate money. How about half price tickets for the waterworks, for example? What happened to the free tickets for schools and local football teams?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Get those kids interested and hopefully they'll be coming back. That's it. That's the comment.
I mean, like, you know, it's a bit, like you said, it's a big comment, so you kind of have to break it down a little bit.
Yeah, you do.
And a lot of it does link together. Obviously, if you do take the catering in-house, like, so the reason that I got told, basically, when I was working there, the reason they don't like doing discount tickets is because the people that lose out at the club's the people that lose out because they don't have the catering. So if they have higher ticket sort of like numbers and they're giving 50% away, they're just losing money most of the time they do that. If they did take the catering in-house, obviously the greater numbers would mean more people spending money on catering. Mm. So it would make more sense for them to do that kind of thing. Also, just taking catering in-house just makes 100% sense, because what's the point in splitting the pot if you don't have to? Like that's my opinion when it comes to the sort of like hospitality side of things and running that kind of thing. It'd be interesting to see where that goes, because the catering company that has the contract, I mean, the last I heard of it, it's a season by season thing. So it'd be interesting to see, like, at the end of the season, if they do sort of take it in-house, but it's something that's necessarily in the control to do right now. And it is quite difficult to sort of organize that kind of thing. You know, you need literally 150, 200 sort of like members of staff, because not everyone's availability is the best. So you need to be able to swap and change people out. You've got people working the kiosks, the bars, the raffles and the waiting on tables in Foxes and the hospitality areas and all the container bars and there's all kinds of different areas where they, you know, it takes a while to recruit your own staff and sort of
I guess if they were going to like bring it in house and start recruiting their own staff as well, then they've got to kind of consider whether they should have somewhere where they can cater to people throughout the week, or is it financially viable to have your own catering staff all employed by the club when it's only like food for the players and like the one day a week when there's actual, or you know, one day every couple of weeks when there's actually a lot of customers about, like are the club able to get like week round use of things like Foxes?
I mean, that's the next challenge, isn't it? It's like booking, trying to get it picked up again. I always said, like, when I was working there, if you've ever been in Foxes, like recently in the last couple of years, they've got a big, ugly red carpet that says Edinburgh Wooden Mill on it in like yellowy kind of gold writing and stuff.
Get rid of that.
the thing is, right? You can, right? There's hundreds of people, if not thousands of people in Carlisle who will be on the second wedding and the wives will let them get married at a football stadium. Those people exist, right? But when that bride walks into Foxes and sees that Edinburgh Wooden Mill carpet and goes, they're going to be in wedding photos, it's game over. You're not getting the wedding booking. It's not happening, and it's game over for you. You put a lovely carpet in Foxes, you've got the views, you've got the boxes, you've got nice bars, you've got the kitchen right there, you've got all the facilities you need. It's just too fucking ugly.
I don't think I've ever been in Foxes, actually.
Yeah, but I'm going to talk about that later on, because I'm going to do like a little bit of an update on what Patiacus have been talking about making improvements on and things like that as well. Yeah. What else was he talking about? Obviously,
I think it's a good point to get Simo involved, because he is kind of Mr. Carlisle, and he is, in terms of like, you know, what he'll share and his views and stuff, more than just the manager.
Hmm.
So that's another thing the comment said. It was just listen to Simo, listen to his ideas. It's just things we've talked about before. Obviously, the players. We've talked about that so much, getting new players in January.
And the player tax do seem like they probably are listening to him.
Yeah, they should be. It sounds like they're quite involved. And then the one at the end was quite interesting to me, because it said, what happened to the free tickets for schools? So that suggests that that doesn't happen anymore, but obviously I don't know, but I remember getting free tickets when I was younger.
Well, yeah. It's that section just to the left of the main stand. And I don't know. I mean, it always seems like there are kids up there, but maybe at the moment those are paying to be there. So I don't know whether they're actually getting them for free or not.
It's a good initiative, though, because it's like the shirts for sevens thing as well. Do they still do that?
I don't think so. That was like half time, isn't it?
Yeah.
To kind of bring some kid on and. Yeah,
but like at Carlisle, even at Carlisle City, they have like the Sunday League team or something of the week that comes down. They walk out with the players. There's like there's 11 kids having an experience or 15 kids having an experience, and you can get out of it. Like, they do get to play on the pitch. But you can do Sunday League teams as well and invite those lads down there as well. And
yeah, for a bit of a different vibe to the schools.
Well, like, the Sunday League team.
Buster and Jimmy start coming out.
they know football, don't they? The Sunday League lads. So it'll be a bit. They're not like you fell over. Get them in young, innit? That's always been the initiative, innit? Get them in young, get them supported.
Well, there was a period where, like, after Keith Curl, maybe during, where a lot of the crowd at Brunton Park was quite old, I thought. There wasn't that many kids about. So, yeah. Bring those initiatives back, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to kind of time that with, like, what's going on with the younger demographic at Brunton Park at the moment, with the Warwick Road lads and all that kind of thing. It's a good time to, like, start thinking about that again.
Yeah. But other than that, it's basically things we've covered before, I'm pretty sure. But that'll wrap things up for this week.
Is the toilets in the Warwick Road end again?
No, it's not. It's not.
They need their weekly mention.
People have calmed down about that.
Yeah. Well, because things have been happening, haven't there? There's been a few developments down there.
Yeah, and if it hadn't been for Max, that wouldn't have happened.
Exactly.
But just to let you know, we can actually have an effect on this podcast.
Well, Max can. Yeah. The one normal. But thanks very much, Max. But unfortunately, I still have to apologise because it's the one time I couldn't think of a rhyme. It's Max's £1 million idea. Now, we're not sure if there's going to be more next week, so we might pull out the old Football Manager thing next week, lads. Has anyone got this year's Football Manager?
I have not, no.
No, but you can get it with Netflix, can't you?
I haven't had it for a few years.
What do you say, Max? Did you say you have it?
I don't have it, no.
But we can all do the Netflix thing, right?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So,
At least two
of us will start playing some Football Manager on Netflix, and we'll do, like, I don't know, like a week at a time or something like that, or like 2 weeks at a time. Otherwise, it won't go fast enough, will it? So we'll have to do like 2 weeks at a time. Yeah, but we'll figure that out for next week. We'll move on to the Blues news. That's right, Carlisle United related news time, and I'll kick things off with the unfortunate news that a recent addition, or at least the what's the right word for this? The opportunity at an addition fell through very recently for Carlisle United. Goalkeeper Ross Stewart was going to sign after training with the club for several weeks, but unfortunately, due to the fact that it would have been under dual registration or along those lines, already registered with a club, basically. It's a bit of an oversight that you would have thought would have been caught, unfortunately. I can imagine Greg Abbott's reaction when he found out. What the hell? What's going on? you can imagine how frantic he was on the phone. But no, that deal's fell through, so there won't be at least Ross Stewart joining the team any point in the recent future. So Carlisle United, or at least Paul Simpson, has came out and said that it's time for them to start looking at other targets. And, there was other targets at the radar. Maybe it opens the door once again for those rumours of Mark Gillespie to come back, potentially. But we'll see how things continue with that interesting development, as obviously now we have that little bit of extra money to recruit that little bit of higher calibre, potentially. In other Blues news, Paul Simpson came out right after the Blackpool game and criticised a section of the Carlisle United supporters for, well, basically berating him. He said it was abusive language that was completely unnecessary. And then after a flood of support over the weekend from what Paul Simpson has since called true Carlisle United supporters in a statement he made. He made a thank you statement to Carlisle United supporters that basically support him. So, it's a bit of turmoil, unfortunately. There was some abuse aimed at Paul Simpson. Lads, surely not, right? We're not considering taking Paul Simpson out at any point this season. You know, he wouldn't be in League Two if it wasn't for Paul Simpson's impact on the club. And obviously, we're so close to a potential huge investment into the squad that's going to make a very big impact. It would be absolutely stupid to consider sacking the manager at this point, don't you think, Liam?
Yeah, no, you can't sack the manager. I don't get why people are considering it, to be honest. I don't think people are considering it, really, apart from like you always get the handful of idiots, but you know, we'd genuinely be quite possibly not even a Football League club without him. So to be struggling a little bit in League One with the budget of like a what bottom half League Two club, that, you know, it's I've got no problem with it. Even if we went down to League Two, and even if we went down again after that, I'd still want Paul Simpson in charge.
Okay, that's a lot of faith.
Yeah. Two relegations.
That's a lot of faith. but certainly, I don't think there would be anyone better for the job if Carlisle United did, you know, knock on wood, end up going down. Like, you know, whatever the thing you're supposed to do is to not jinx yourself. If Carlisle United did end up going down, then there's no one better to get Carlisle United promoted from League Two into League One than Paul Simpson. Isn't that right, Max?
Yeah, I think so. He's done it. Well, twice with us, hasn't he? So, obviously tensions were quite high after the game on Saturday, and I think, to be fair, on the night I was like backing him all the way, but I do think that his choice of words was probably a bit wrong, really, in hindsight.
Yeah.
But I think he kind of probably realizes that, and he was obviously quite annoyed. It was right after the game when he got interviewed, so I can kind of forgive it, but. There's two sides to it, I think. But yeah, if anyone's saying like Paul Simpson needs the sack, then like I said on Instagram, just don't bother coming to Brunton Park because you won't be missed, kind of thing.
Will, that's true, isn't it? Like you want to zero in on the fact that, you know, maybe Paul Simpson didn't deal with the situation in the best way that he could have.
Well, I haven't heard his comments immediately after the match, but It's kind of inevitable that he's going to get some criticism when the club aren't doing very well. And I feel like, you know, a lot of the older fans who remember him well from the first time have maybe got a better perception of him. I don't know who it was, like, you know, who's given him the abuse, whether these were fans who are too young to remember him the first time. But look, like, I mean, Liam's probably too young to remember his first time round, and he still thinks he's God. So it's it's only a minority. But yeah, I mean, I would say it's inevitable that there'll be some people among the fan base who have no sentimentality and no kind of like you know, aren't bothered by what he's done in the past. It doesn't matter who the manager is. If the team are struggling, they're going to say, change the manager.
That's right. But on this podcast, we're all very much united in a front that says, in Simo we trust.
I am, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we'll move on to some ex-Blues news, gentlemen. And two Cumbrians have been highly praised this week, one from their manager and another from a Match of the Day pundit. Firstly, I'll tell you about James Trafford, who put on a hell of a performance for Burnley this past weekend and got himself some praise from Vincent Kompany for making what he said was his best Premier League game so far. And then Jared Branthwaite had a great display for Everton, but was singled out by Micah Richards on Match of the Day for praise, calling for him to potentially be considered for a full England international call-up. Now, to speculate about Trafford and Jared Branthwaite. We enjoy it here on the Blue Army podcast. We do, especially Branthwaite, because, you know, there's a bit of money and there's a bit of juice involved in that one. But, I mean, just to put my two pence into the situation, I don't think Jared Branthwaite is going to make a full England cap in the very near future, because I think he's been pigeonholed into the England under-21s captaincy for at least the next year or two, I think. And it's going to be quite hard to take him out of that. And Gareth Southgate likes seasoned under 21 players to come through into the England squad. He doesn't like to sort of like steal them through necessarily. So I feel like personally he's going to end up in the under 21 squad for a little bit longer, unfortunately, before he gets that first potential big cap in the first team. Lastly, in Carlisle United related news, though, gentlemen, is the impact of the Patayaks once again raining through for all to see at Brunton Park. Recently this week, there has been adverts to add to the backroom staff for a data analyst. And yes, gentlemen, of course I've applied. No, of course I have.
Is that in addition to the guy we've had previously? Is it like, was it Jacob Blythe?
It's an addition, yeah. It's an addition. So they're looking to add more to that backroom staff and data analyst capacity. So obviously new developments with the squad.
Moneyball.
Yeah, that's it. Tom Patayak, though, did come out and make some quite Moneyball-esque statements in an interview that he did with BBC Radio Cumbria, basically saying that, you know, looking at stats is a huge part of sports for him. And that is what a model that he's going to be basing the recruitment off, which is why they want to instantly invest in this kind of analyst position for the club going forward. It's going to be an important thing when it comes to transfers in the very recent future. And also, Portaloos have been spotted off the Warwick Road end bow. That's right. There's been some Waterloo additions happening to the Warwick Road end. The instant impact that has happened from the Patayaks under the influence of the watchful eye of Max's £1 million idea. The Warwick is finally having some improvements made to the toilet. Gentlemen, I don't mean to grumble or anything, though, but it's Portaloos. It's nothing permanent for now. But is Portaloos an instant improvement to the Warwick Road end? Or would you like the opportunity to have said goodbye?
Well, I haven't used the Portaloos yet. I haven't used the old toilets in a long time. So
they're still available.
I thought they were closed off. I'm kind of ambivalent about the whole thing. But, you know, I think they hinted that they are going to do something in the space that the toilets are currently in, like, you know, probably put a roof on and some proper plumbing in and stuff.
You never know, they might put some kind of bar with some proper toilet facilities like to one side instead. Obviously, we still don't know what's happening down there, but we can see instant impact and instant improvements of festival style Portaloos that'll be in usage for the Warwick Road end.
They're a lot better, to be fair, than the festival ones.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Even better. Like, they're quite posh ones, actually.
All right, okay. Cumberland Show toilets then.
I imagine so, yeah. I mean, they've got the same kind of heavy uses, the types of use that festival toilets get.
Absolutely. I'd hate to be the person that has to empty those toilets, though, if there's not any there won't be any proper plumbing put in. So, you know, that's going to be a horrible regular job.
They don't, like, just pull up a tanker to it and, like, I've seen them do it at festivals.
Oh, right, okay.
They just drive up alongside it, put a big tube in.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, they're not carrying buckets back and forth.
And that is the Carlisle United related news this week, gentlemen. And before we dive into playing the game with the longest name, we're going to have a quick word from a couple of our sponsors.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
All right, gentlemen, here we go. It's time to play the game with the longest name. That's right, it's time for the Blue Army Podcast. FIFA, higher or lower, which also contains one equals now relating to their overall rating on a certain year of FIFA. And this time, it's FIFA 18. That's right, gentlemen. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. And before we kick things off, it's time to decide the running order for things this week and who gets to go first, second, and third. And so, once again, I'm on the spot and I'm going to ask you to give me your favourite breakfast cereal. That's right. We're going to start with Max.
Weetabix. That counts as a cereal.
Okay, Liam.
Strong start. Shreddies.
Shreddies is strong. Knitted Will. Old women.
No.
Crunchy Nut Corn Flakes.
Oh, damn. Will for the win with the Crunchy Nut Corn Flakes. Covered very quickly by the Weetabix and Shreddies, unfortunately, in last position.
Boring Shreddies.
I'll stand by Shreddies till the end.
Oh, don't blame you. They're not that bad, but you know, it was a difficult competition for Shreddies. It was a difficult, you know, the group of death for Shreddies, it really was. But we're going to pick things off where we left things last week, and obviously, Will, you and your Crunchy Nut Corn Flakes, yeah, you're going to be going first. We left things last week with Tom Miller, who has an overall rating of 61, and we're going
to
move on.
To be 61.
You what?
It always seems to be 61.
It was last week, well remembered. Yeah, we started with Kelvin Atuhu last week, but it's Tom Miller on 61, yeah. And we're going to move on to see higher or lower than Tom Miller, Mark Ellis.
Mark Ellis, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. Whereabouts he been about the lower leagues, Mark Ellis. I mean, part of me wants to say like I did last time and jump straight in with the Even Stevens again, but I'm not.
Have we already used the Even Steven?
You have already found.
Oh, is it Stevens? Oh, yeah. Because
I think it was Liam successfully diverted around.
I forgot that it was a carry on from what. Yeah, I'm going to say lower.
You're going to say lower. You're out, I'm afraid, Will.
Oh, for God's sake!
Mark Ellis was higher than Tom Miller, but we're going to move on still. There's still one opportunity left for you. It's Max. From Mark Ellis, higher or lower than Mark Ellis, Reggie Lamb.
I think Reggie Lamb was like... Oh, no, you can't give hints anymore, can you? I'm going to go lower.
Going to say lower for Reggie Lamb. And I thought there was going to be a second casualty, but you've managed to avoid it, mate. Well done. We're going to move on. Higher or lower, Liam, than Reggie Lamb? Jack Bonham.
Christ, I don't even know. Lower.
Going to say lower. And you'd be correct, mate. Well done. You're still in the game, lads. We're starting to make our way through the squad. We're at the halfway point, in fact, of the FIFA 18 squad. Higher or lower than Jack Bonham, Max? Luke Joyce.
I think Jack Bonham was like pretty low, so I'm gonna go high.
Gonna say high for the homegrown talent of Luke Joyce. And you'd be correct, mate. Well done. We continue through. It's over to Liam again. Higher or lower than Luke Joyce? Cole Stockton.
Cole Stockton is lower.
And you've said lower. You're locked in on lower.
Yes.
Going to be right.
And it's wrong, I'm afraid, oh, Liam. I'm sorry, lads. I'm going to put a cross right where we were.
Didn't last all that long that time.
Unfortunately, no. But it's still a commendable effort. You know, you still made your way through a fair shot of the FIFA 18 squad. It's considerably more difficult than previous weeks, though. There's a lot more, just difficulties in there. There's some homegrown players that are quite highly rated. Some, you know, a lot of things to stumble on. But we'll get to pick up where we left things next week on the game with the longest name. We'll move on, though, gentlemen, to the match report. Now, we all knew it was going to be difficult, okay? We all knew it was going to be difficult. And obviously, you know, I can see Liam's already going red in the face, so we're going to hand over to him very quickly. But before we do, we're going to very quickly, as we always do, give you the Carlisle United starting lineup for the game that took place this past weekend. That's right, there was Thomas Holy in nets, Emmanuel Barkley, Lavelle and Mellish across the back four, with McGeoch, Moxon, McAlmont, Robinson playing in the midfield. Well, four, but there's probably more like a back five. This is just the formation I'm reading off the BBC. And then Plange and Garner playing up front as a front two. Now, obviously, Liam, you were there. I'm guessing it was more of a back five than Liam's, a 4-4-2.
I think Liam's battery's gone.
Oh, is it at the moment Liam's battery has decided to go just as soon?
He's just so annoyed with the match that he's decided he can't handle it.
He just turned off, yeah. He's walked away.
Well, just so I know, did you end up watching it on like iFollow or anything like that? Like, have you got a dodgy
phone or anything? You couldn't do it. You got to listen to it.
Yeah,
okay. You just got radio.
I listened to the first half and then I got to my parents' house and they don't actually have a radio. So
fair enough.
Just watching Sky Sports football, you know, video printer thing. And to be honest, it didn't seem like I missed much.
No, to be fair, I ended up going to watch Carlisle fucking City get beat 4-0. So
I mean, it seems like for the first bit that I listened to, at least until Blackpool scored, the commentators on the radio were fairly complimentary about how we'd started the game. And obviously Blackpool scoring with an error from Thomas Holy. At the time, the commentators were like, oh, Carlisle started so well and, you know, they're really in this game and that's going to take the wind out their sails. Rest of their first half, then not quite as complimentary. And then second half, I just saw the goals come in, but I can only presume that things were pretty dire from what I've heard. Obviously, didn't have much of a chance on goal.
Yeah. I mean, you say that though, but Carlisle did record a fair few chances on goal. Just
quite towards the end, I think.
Yeah. You know, they did sort of like start to pepper, but obviously Blackpool were, you know, in the recline, sort of like sitting back and allowing Carlisle to press forward. But 22nd minute, it's a gift of a goal. Unfortunately, Thomas Hoyley just comes out, completely whiffs it. We all know he's got a mistake or two in his game, and we all know that the goalkeeper recruitment is a big thing for Paul Simpson to have to tackle. Max, what can you say about this? You know, you like Thomas Hoyley, don't you? We all like Thomas, but you know he's got this in his game, hasn't he? And you know it can't do in a relegation fight. And when you're going for promotion and you're scoring loads of goals and your goalkeeper makes a mistake, you can kind of laugh it up. It's fine, 3-1, that's not a problem. But when you're losing games, it's not as funny, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I think that game at the weekend, if you know, it wasn't already nailed down. I think Simo's kind of fully decided now from that the next keeper he brings in is going to be the starter for him. I mean, he probably thought that anyways, but like you say, if we're scoring loads, it's fine. But yeah, we're not scoring at all really at the minute. Any costly mistakes from him or when it was Anderson, it just gets highlighted more. And to be fair, I think we would have lost anyways, but
and obviously if we were up at the top end of the table scoring more, then you can say like doesn't matter as much if the keeper makes a mistake. We probably don't really have keepers that, you know, if you're gonna have a keeper that doesn't make mistakes, it's probably because you're one of the bigger teams at this level. So it's you know, it's a bit of a catch 22 when you're in a relegation battle that you know, you're going to end up with these moments where you feel like this shouldn't happen, but kind of the reason they do happen is because, you know, you're a team down at the bottom end of the table and these are the sort of, you know, the players that you get are going to have more mistakes in them.
Yeah, I just don't think the players are good enough, to be fair, a lot of them.
Liam's back.
Liam's back.
Us. Liam's back joining us, and we can hear him and everything, so that's all good. I was basically, beforehand, I was saying on the BBC it looks like a 4-4-2, but I'd imagine, you know, what you were seeing in front of you was a 5-3-2.
I don't know. I don't know what it was. Most of the time, it was a back 10. to be honest, there wasn't really a formation. It was just defend, constantly in your own half. Though you can say it was a back 5, but it was probably more than that. It was probably more of a, you know, back 6 with McGeek dropping into it. It was just defend for our lives for the vast majority of that game. So I honestly couldn't tell you what formation he was trying to go for in an ideal world.
I mean, Carlisle, at least, you know, they got through the first half. It's just one goal down. You're still in a game. You know, you can get yourselves in, and that's when the manager can have a bit more influence and maybe turn you round. And, you know, Liam, again, you were there. Did you see any improvement when Carlisle came out for the second half?
Well, they couldn't get much worse. I think immediately after the second half, we were just as poor as we were in the first. But after about 5 minutes of that second half, we started to get into it a bit more. And I think that's more a case of because Blackpool kind of felt a little bit sorry for us. Down into second gear because they didn't need to do anything really after that point. And yes, we got a couple of good attacks. Sean Maguire missed a very good chance when he came on. And we played a little bit better, but nothing to write home about. And when you're already 3-0 down, well, I suppose 2-0 down as it was at the time, you know, you can say we've improved, but it's too late at that point. And Blackpool just kind of let us because they knew we didn't really have much of an attacking threat.
I mean, there's an air of luck about the second goal as well, the way it just sort of comes straight back off the post, straight into, you know, the most experienced goal scorer on the pitch, unfortunately, in Rhodes. And then again, he just kind of puts the game to bed. But, you know, Carlisle United did look to attack a little bit before that third deadly goal went in, as you've quite rightfully said. There just isn't enough quality. Max, you've already said that. Will, I'm pretty sure we've all kind of mentioned the fact that recruitment is going to be a huge thing going forward. And, you know, it'll be interesting to hear what a lot of the listeners have to say. I'm sure there's a lot of choice opinions that Max has to cover. Liam, I don't know if you've got anything from your YouTube comments.
Yeah, I've got a couple.
So there's a couple of comments on both ends. So, I guess who wants to go first?
I'll let Liam go first.
No, okay. Just grab that. Yep, okay. To be honest, my video really devolved into talking about Simo's comments more than they did about the game. Mm-hmm. So most of the comments are about Simo. Chris Welch, you know, long-time subscriber, said 100% faith in Simo. Simpson taking aim at the supporters isn't on, even if he's right. It's never a good idea to have a go at people who pay good money to come and watch us get battered every week. And let's be real, he still picks Gross like Plunge, I think that's meant to say Dross, who he thinks are good enough, mocks and who've been crap all season, and drops our best player Gibson to the bench and thinks the batterings of Reading and Blackpool weren't due to a lack of effort. Sorry, Paul, but you've been delusional when you say that. Need to stop holding Abbott's hand and accepting the Dross he suggests to sign. Not grammatically great, but you get the idea, yeah.
It's come up a lot, that the thing about the signings, and are Abbott and Simo responsible for the fact that we don't have, let's just say, without singling out players that aren't good enough, we don't have enough players that are quality at this level. But I don't know. I think
a budget thing, isn't it?
Yeah
that's what keeps coming up.
I don't think Abbott or Simo are going out there and, like, with all due respect to him, and I think he has had a few good games, I don't think he's kind of come in and said, this Luke Plange lad, he's going to come in and be your main striker.
Yeah, you can actually probably like 5th or 6th choice, something like that. You know,
yeah, he's more of a winger as well than a striker, Plange.
Yeah, there was quite a few comments sort of saying that they want Plange out and on all this. But, like, I think Simo said in his interview, like, he's a 20-year-old lad, and it's like, it's kind of out of order, really, because he's not really supposed to be a starting 11 player at this stage in his development. But yeah, like Liam, a lot of the comments I got were mainly about Simo. All of them were just basically saying that you have to stick with him. Basically criticising any abuse that he was getting. We'd be playing in the FA Trophy today if it wasn't for Simo. Disappointing so far this season, but we shouldn't be in League One and definitely wouldn't be without Simo. A lot of the themes of it as well was like, you know, potentially we got promoted a bit earlier than expected and, you know, maybe lacked in a bit of preparation in that way through no fault of our own, really.
I think it's just lack of finances to put together a strong enough squad for to stay up, wasn't it? You know, it's like, you know, it's just a lack of options for them to be able to bring in decent players. And, you know, then you got to think McGeoch as well just got injured day one, unfortunately, like when he walked in the door. So he's been out for a long time and he's obviously, he's got some quality in him.
I think too many eggs were put in the Maguire basket as well, probably. The amount of money that obviously he's allegedly on a week, he should be scoring every other game, to be honest, at this point.
Reminds me a lot of the Zach Clough situation, that one.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, look, I think he's better than Zach Clough, at least.
Yeah, he is.
Raise eyebrows that Gibson didn't start. But I guess, obviously, that's part of the game plan. But when you concede early on and then again in the second half, you know, the game plan sort of goes out the window. So, you know, whatever reason, you know, Gibson was dropped to the bench for, you know, as soon as we, you know, we're 2-0 down, that's no longer relevant anymore. So, you know, any kind of like ideas of maybe he's kind of like planned that Gibson's going to do well against a tiring late game Blackpool. You know, I say, you know, it's no longer going to look that way, you know, when he does come on. So you can kind of like almost, I can't really speculate what the reason was, but it was probably a reason that would have looked a lot better had it worked, as most things. But
yeah, I mean, like, there does seem to be plans afoot, you know. There does seem to be, Simo's trying things out, definitely. You know, he's still looking for his best 11, though, unfortunately, I think. And at this stage of the season, going into January, it's going to make it, you know, the door very saloon-like, you know.
Yeah, it'll make it easier for him to kind of drop people and bring people in. There's, you know, there's not many players there that could, you know, feel that their position's not up for grabs. So I think, you know, we can go out in the transfer window and, you know, hopefully just bring in as many players as we need to, you know, to get our squad up to standard. And I said this before as well, I think if you bring in a bit more experience, I think there are players in the squad that would improve in the right team.
Mm-hmm. You know,
the likes of Jack Armour and Owen Moxon aren't being helped by the fact that they're now in a squad where they're considered among the star players when they've never even played at this level before.
Yeah, it's a good point. It must be difficult. Like, yeah, so you think, like, bringing in, I mean, even with people out like Huntington being injured, I feel like, you know, we've definitely seen an impact on that back line. I know earlier on in the season, Liam, you were saying there wouldn't be enough pace in the back four if Huntington sort of like went back in to a back four. But, you know, would you want him back in the back five at least? You feel like that experience is now really important?
I'd have him over Barkley. And to be honest, I think you could maybe put him in a back four if you've got Mellish alongside him. I just don't think you could have like a... I think Lavelle's going to play. Like, you know, he's been arguably our best centre-back this season. So I don't think you can play Lavelle Huntington in a back four because that's just not enough pace. But if you play in a back five of Mellish, Lavelle, Huntington, I think that's probably the strongest, you know, you can get as a back three.
Max, do you think the same? Or do you think Huntington could maybe fit into a back four?
Yeah, obviously he's got really good experience at this level and higher, but I think it'd be dangerous to just rely on that. I think I agree with Will in that we need to kind of look at bringing in probably 4 or 5 League One players with a lot of League One experience at least.
Yeah, and, definitely one up front.
Yeah.
But we could probably do with one at the back just because of Huntington's injury and the fact that we have started shipping goals and although Lavelle has been our best player, if you were going to pick an area of the pitch that we could just pack with a bit of experience, then, you know, you might go for defence just to kind of like shore up that, you know, stop us conceding as many goals and, you know, stop the, you know, keep the, you know, keep games from just getting away from us, which they have seemed to start doing of late.
I love that absolutely nobody's even considered dropping or replacing Mellish. Like, that's nobody's like, even mentioned.
Because we'll just move him around, that's why. He doesn't have to drop him, you just move him into the midfield.
Like anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always someone else that you can drop it other than Mellish. You know, like, I mean, you can move him around and
think
drop
about
someone else.
Bringing people in, but not necessarily thinking ahead as to what our starting lineup would be with these players. Like, if we bring another defender in, now you've maybe got a situation where Huntington and Mellish are competing for the same position, perhaps. So, you know, there's just going to be increase.
I still don't know if Mellish is good enough for League One, to be honest.
Mm.
It's going to be interesting in January to see, like, how much they're willing to give to, like, to make us stay up, because it's going to take something massive for us to stay up now. That's my opinion. Like, earlier on in the season, we looked like fairly competitive, and, you know,
what's
we weren't
massive?
Getting battered.
Like, what's massive? Like, what
change,
kind
the
of
changes, like,
five,
to the squad?
Five,
like,
six,
it needs to be at least half the starting 11, I think.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, at least four players.
I'm replacing them with,
And you've got to think as well, we're only 3 points off safety.
Apparently, we've already got one. I don't know if anyone saw that was today. We don't. I haven't looked in to see if there's much speculation as to who it is, but according to Simo, we've got one all agreed and everything, and that's going to happen in the transfer window. So, not for another 4 games, but there is apparently.
Definitely that keeper that couldn't register, isn't it?
I think it might be. I mean, like, we talk about, like, are we going to have to go out and get another keeper now? Or this guy, we've had him in the building, they've trained with him. 4 more games that, you know, before the window opens, are we just going to wait those 4 games out and then bring him in?
Well, we'll see. After that big whiff by Thomas Holley against Blackpool, that recruitment effort might have been stepped up a little bit. And who knows, a bit more investment might have been put forward to be able to recruit a slightly higher calibre of goalkeeper. Interesting developments, though, afoot. And we'll see how that develops, obviously, next week on the podcast. Gentlemen, we'll move on. It's impossible to give a man of the match. So I imagine we're just going to move straight forward and do our predictions for next weekend's game against Northampton. Northampton beat Fleetwood Town, I believe, this week.
Yeah, they're really on a roll now, Northampton, because they were struggling at first, but up in mid-table now after a run of wins.
That's right. They managed to put together a few wins, beating the likes of Cambridge and Blackpool recently, and then obviously Fleetwood this weekend. They're on a run. They've got 3 wins in 3. And, you know, they've gone away from where we were hoping they would be by the time we were facing them. We talked about this run of fixtures that we've had and hopefully being able to get a few points from them. And now we're running into a game against a team that are in a much higher position than we thought they were ever going to be in when we faced them. It's going to be a difficult one, but it is at home. And because it's at home in front of the Carlisle United faithful, I'm going to say we're going to win it by 2-1. It's going to be a hard game. It's going to be a battle, but we're going to win it by 2-1. Liam?
I think home advantage. I think we're going to get a point out of it. I think it's going to be 1-1.
Okay, that's fair. Will.
Sod it, 3-0.
Hey. Two.
Yeah, I think it'll be like, you know, if we can start kind of, you know, if we can start just kind of get a few big results to cancel out a few of these crap results.
Well, for my predictions, I'm going to go for one that I want it to be and one that I actually think.
Oh, you can pick one.
Right, I'll just say, I think we're going to lose 2-1.
Oh, what? What?
And that's why I wanted two. I wanted a positive one as well.
Mate.
We're not actually meant to say what we think. We're meant to give...
Yeah,
we're a positive platform. That's what we are.
I'll go with 3-0 then, in that case.
You and Wills with the same prediction. I like it. But lads, before we wrap things up and finish things off, it's time to play everybody's favourite game.
Guessing the player.
Let's go.
Guessing the player.
That's right, boys. It's called Guessing the player. It's everybody's favourite game for a reason.
Awesome.
That's right. And this week, we have, for some reason, entrusted Liam with the responsibility of being the clue guide once again. Now, I'm sure he understands the parameters of the game after his last performance as clue guide led to a shout from a 1970s, which has never been done before here on the Blue Army podcast. It needs to fall within your birth years, Liam. That's kind of the rule of the game.
Mine are also fact checked as well.
Well played. And the fixture this week is Will, the home team, versus Max, who is flying high at the top of the table at the moment after winning last week. Congratulations, Max. You beat me last week. You're on a good run of form that has seen you climb to the top of the Guessing the Player table. This week, you come against the former champion and incredibly experienced Wills. So how do you feel going into this fixture?
Be all right. I think Will's obviously got quite a lot of knowledge, but I think he rushes into answers too fast. doesn't use that knowledge.
Will, you've been called out right there. One of your flaws has been told to the world. Is it something you agree with? Have you been blindsided by the criticism?
No, I mean, I think fast's the way to do it. Don't mull around. because you know, you'll just talk yourself out of the correct answer if you do that.
He goes with his gut.
Yeah, instincts.
Wills is sticking to his guns there for that one. And it's going to be an interesting fixture. The current top of the table contestant versus the former champion. Liam, you are the clue guide, sir. I'm going to sit back and enjoy this one. Take it away, lads.
Okay. Clue number one. This player joined Carlisle on loan from Newcastle.
I'm going to go with Adam Campbell.
Ooh. Nope. Rushed into an answer there, I see.
But I mean, like, I can think of a player who came on loan from Newcastle. Why not just go with it?
Yeah, okay.
Good vibe. Yeah, I like it. I'm going to message Liam what I think it is.
Alex Gilliard.
It's not that either.
Ooh, that's interesting.
So, on a clue two, this one might give it away, actually. In fact, no, I'm changing the order of my clues. I'm putting that one last. This guy scored... He was a striker who scored 0 goals in 8 league games.
Was it Elias Sorensen?
It is Elias Sorensen.
I mean, Elias 0 goal Sorensen.
Well done, Will.
Who did you think it was?
Who did I think it was?
Yeah.
Oh, on the first clue, Alan O'Brien.
I think the 0 goals thing kind of give it away, especially if you...
Like, the other clue was that he was born in Denmark. So...
I mean, like, either of those. I think either of those. Max, would you have got it from either of them?
Probably from Denmark, yeah. I would have got that one. But...
Zero goals just screams Elias Sorensen.
Well, will those frustrating minutes that you spent watching Elias Sorensen not score any goals has finally paid off for you, though, in one way or another, as you claimed 2 points this week in guessing the player in dramatic fashion against the top of the table, Max. It doesn't have an immediate impact on the table, unfortunately, but it does leave you one point, I believe, behind Liam. The table is yet to be clarified. But we'll figure things out. We'll figure things out maybe next week. And there isn't really anything else left for us to do, gentlemen, apart from saying bye for now.
For now.
In a bit.
Bye for now.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.